take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs once again, Proverbs chapter 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4. I'd like us to just continue our study here in Proverbs chapter 4 from verses 20 down to verse 27. Let's review verses 23 to 27. We will read and then pray. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 to 27. It reads, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." That's about the prayer. Heavenly Father, we do bless your name this morning. We thank you for the opportunity once again to worship you, and we pray that your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, will lead us and guide us in the truth, and that you would glorify the Lord Jesus in all that is said and done this morning. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. In verse number 20, there is a strong charge to take heed to wisdom, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Likewise, in verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So verses 20 and 21 gives us a charge concerning the importance to hold and apply biblical wisdom to our lives. Then in verse 22, the Bible gives us a benefit, and that is that God promises long life, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Good health is promised in principle to those that apply biblical wisdom to their lives. Everybody has a natural desire to live long and to have a healthy existence. God's word is awfully practical. I should say wonderfully practical. And teaches us, if we will hold on to and apply biblical wisdom, then in principle God will give us longevity and physical well-being. If that's of value to you, longevity, and I would guess it probably is, good health, I'd say that would be of value to all of us, then a good place to start, before we get awfully fanatical about what we eat, is probably consider the importance of God's Word also, and the benefit that God's Word has for us. So as we hold on to and apply biblical wisdom to our lives, God promises longevity, God promises well-being physically. And the end of verse 22, it makes reference to flesh. Health to all their flesh. And then from verses 23 onwards, we note then verse 23, there is a reference to the heart. Keep or guard thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. So God encourages us to take hold and apply biblical wisdom. We will benefit physically as a result of the application of biblical wisdom. And then verse 22, it ends with the word flesh in reference to the body. And God goes on and uses the body to illustrate to us the importance of applying
biblical wisdom to our lives. And verse 23, first and foremost, addresses the heart, headquarters, so to speak. And we are to guard our hearts with all diligence, the Bible teaches us, because out of it are the issues of life. And what that simply means is that every part of my life, every part of your life is an extension of our heart. The heart here is in reference to the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. So the Bible teaches us that we need to guard our hearts because that will affect our total being. The word guard here, translated keep, has a twofold application. If one is to guard, then they have the responsibility, first and foremost, to keep out. But also there are occasions when one on guard will have to throw out. But predominantly, the purpose of a guard is to deter or to keep out. But there are times that guard needs to throw out. And let me ask you, what's easier, to keep out or to throw out? I think you'd agree with me, it'd be far easier to keep somebody out than to have somebody in and try to get them out. That's far more difficult. It takes a lot more virtue. So the Bible teaches us that we are to guard our hearts with all diligence because it will affect our lives. For out of it are the issues of life. So from verse 22, it makes reference to flesh, our bodies. And then verse 23, it zeroes in on head office, the mind, the will, the emotions, the heart, the soul, as it's often translated in the scriptures, the soul. Sometimes it's translated spirit in the scriptures as well. So we have to guard our hearts with all diligence. We need to be on guard lest we allow anything that might enter our hearts that will negatively affect us. And if there are things that have crept into our hearts, then we have the responsibility as a guard to throw it out. So here from verse number 23, we find in verse 24 a reference to speech, the mouth. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. What is said can often have a negative effect upon our heart. So we need to guard our hearts, and I think there's a twofold application here. We need to guard our hearts lest we say anything that would contaminate the heart of another. But also, we need to be on guard lest we listen to speech that will infect our hearts. And it's by no coincidence that the tongue or the mouth is mentioned first and foremost after a reference to the heart. That's not a coincidence. God knows human nature. God understands people. And first and foremost, brethren, we need to guard our hearts from hearing or speaking evil. Now note there in verse 24, the phrase, put away from thee. That phrase, put away, means to remove or to cast out or to pluck out or to remove from you. And the Bible teaches us that we have to remove from our lives a froward mouth. The word froward is an old English word. It's a good word because it literally means that which is crooked, that which is perverted, or that which is distorted, twisted, that which is not true, that which is false. The ninth commandment is that we are not to bear false witness. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. And the Bible teaches us that we need to guard our hearts from hearing or speaking evil. That which is the extension of a forward mouth. Job 11:14 reads, "If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far from thee. Let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles." And brethren, may God help us to guard our hearts against a forward mouth, from speaking or listening to that which is not true, tale-bearing, those that go about telling tales. And yes, Christians are just as guilty. Those that slander, those that put question marks over God's people. This is a forward mouth. And the Bible teaches us the ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness. And this will affect your heart. This will affect my heart if we listen to tale-bearing, if we listen to slander, if we listen to questioning. It will get in and it will infect your heart. It will infect my heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. We need to guard against listening, and also we need to guard against speaking with a forward mouth, twisted words. But also note that in verse 24 goes on to read, perverse lips put far from thee. Perverse means to turn aside, to stray, uncontrollable. The forward mouth is one that speaks deliberately to tell a lie, to bear false witness. A person that speaks perversely is one that speaks without control. A person that does not control their tongue. I don't believe that you and I need to speak our mind. There are some things that are better off not being said. Well, somebody say amen. That's a nonsense statement, you know. And people say to you, oh, look, I just like to speak my mind. Well, I'd duck for cover. Honestly. Really? Think about it. I don't want to hear everything that's in your mind, and I don't think you want to hear everything that takes place in my mind. But the Bible teaches us we have to speak that which edifies and builds up others. That's Ephesians 4:29. And brethren, we must guard our hearts with all diligence. We need to guard against that broad mouth, that individual that will speak twisted words, that person that will say crooked things. We also need to guard our heart against those that have an uncontrollable tongue. Gossipers. Those that are critical. Those that are whisperers. You know what a whisperer does? He whispers. Whispers in your ear. Be careful. They're infecting your heart. The Bible makes reference to busybodies, people involved in conversation that really is none of their business. And in fact, the Apostle Paul had to instruct those believers there on the island of Crete that these young ladies that were widowed need to get married and have children because there is a lot of busybodying taking place. So brethren, we need to guard our hearts against a forward mouth listening to things that are not true, and we need to guard our hearts against listening to people that just have an uncontrollable tongue. Why? Because at the end of the day, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The end of verse 24 reads, put far from thee. That means to separate from, to disfellowship from. Keep your distance. And if somebody chooses to walk disorderly and to speak with a froward mouth or to speak with a perverse tongue, then you need to separate. That's what the Bible calls holiness. Isn't it funny? We get all paranoid during this time of the year with people coughing and snuffling, and we have this attitude, oh, don't contaminate me with your cough or your cold. We get all paranoid about that. But I wish we would get more concerned about those that speak with a froward mouth and those that speak with perverse lips. Why don't we get a little bit more bolder? Just like some of us are very bold and say, please don't come anywhere near me. I don't want to catch your cough. How is it we can be so bold with making statements like, oh, I don't want to catch your flu. Keep your distance. Oh, don't touch me. Sorry, I'm not going to shake your hand. I noticed that you pulled out a hanky. We get all paranoid about colds and flus during this time of the year, but I wish we would get more concerned about people that speak with a froward mouth. I wish we would get more concerned about those that people that speak with a perverse lip. I say, go away. I need to guard my heart. You're corrupting me. You're contaminating me. I don't want to catch your flu. I don't want to catch your cough. I don't want to catch your fever. That's not right. You're not saying that, which is that's going to affect my health. I don't know about you. I want to live long. I want to be healthy. So keep your forward mouth to yourself, please. Amen. Keep your perverse lips to yourself. I'm not interested in gossip. I'm not interested in the critical spirit. I'm not interested in whisperers. I'm not interested in being a busybody. I just need to take care of my own business. I'm not interested in pile bearing. I'm not interested in slander. I'm not interested in questioning, because I want to live long, serve God with well-being. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You value your health? Speak to me. How hypocritical. We get so paranoid about somebody coughing in our face, yet we tolerate forward mouth. Versus, how hypocritical is that? That's pathetic. It's true, isn't it? Don't worry, I'm not your enemy, I'm your friend. The Bible says, put far from thee. Just like you're prepared to say, many of you are prepared to say, please say your distance. I noticed you've got a cough and you pulled out your hanky and I don't want to catch your flu, and you know. Well, why don't you say likewise to the person that is spreading things that are just not true? Because it's infecting you. Yes, it is. Oh, Pastor, I can handle it. You ain't Superman. You ain't Superman. Don't say that. That's not true. I've seen some of the most sweetest Christians become castaways because they've listened to things that they shouldn't have listened to. Don't ever think you won't be the next one. Please, guard your heart with all diligence. Pull far from thee a forward mouth. Perverse lips. Then it goes on to say in verse number 25. So verse 24 makes reference to the mouth, the speech. We need to guard our heart against speech that might corrupt our hearts. Infect our mind, infect our emotions, infect our will. But also here in verse 25, it makes reference to that which we see. Let thine eyes look right on. That phrase there, right on, is a beautiful little phrase. It refers to gaze upon, to look in a direction. The Bible teaches us that we need to focus upon that which is right. Let thine eyes look right on that which is right. Keep our focus upon that which is right. Why? Because our hearts can be affected if we look upon things that are just not right to look upon. In Hebrews chapter 12, for example, in verse 2, the Bible teaches us that we are to be looking unto Jesus, are we not? Poor David, I'm reading through 2 Samuel once again, and there it was the other day, and I said to my wife, boy, this is every time I read 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'm just saddened. How that great king just chose to look in a direction that he ought not to have looked. That got into his heart. The rest is history. It's all it takes. One gaze. See? Choose to look upon that which is right in the sight of the Lord. That's what that little phrase means. Let thine eyes, plural, two, let thine eyes look right on. In other words, make a decision to look upon that which is right and in harmony with the Word of God. And then in verse 25 it goes on to read, let thine eyelid look straight before thee. The word straight here is an implication concerning the principle of discipline. We have to look with discipline. In other words, we need to take responsibility for what we look at by choosing to exercise discipline and choosing to look upon that which is right. Let thine eyes look right on. We can choose to gaze upon that which is holy. We can choose to gaze upon that which is unholy. And as I often like to say to our teenagers, God gave us a neck for a reason. Now let's all do it together. Watch me now. You watching? Okay, back straight. Head up. Okay, do this. Right. Do this. Amen. What does that teach you? God gave you a neck so that you can turn your head and look upon that which is right, and if something comes before you that's not right, then... See, it's not that hard, is it? Philip, can you do that? Show me. Yes, you can. I saw. There you go. We can all do it. We can all choose not to look. Because it's going to infect our hearts. Men especially. We are stimulated by sight. We're pathetic in that regard. We especially need to exercise our necks constantly and look away, look away. Billboards. Magazines, on that computer screen, the TV, on and on it goes, brethren. We need to guard our hearts because it's going to affect your health. It's going to affect my health. We need to look right on. We need to keep our eyes focused upon that which is right. And if something comes across our path that's not right, let's look away. Let's encourage one another in that regard. And if you see something up ahead that is not good, then you need to encourage fellow brethren, let's look away. Now, let's be careful here. Or focus upon something else. You can choose to gaze upon that which is holy and turn away from that which is unholy. Guard thy heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life. What will affect my heart? That which I speak and listen to will affect my heart. That which I look upon will affect my heart. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm a strong Christian. I can handle it. Well, I don't think that's true. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how many times you've read your Bible. I don't care how many verses you can quote. You are flesh, like I'm flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. What the eye gate, straight connection to the heart. Need to keep out. Choose not to look upon. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Discipline. Choose to look upon things that would glorify Christ. And choose not to look upon things that will not glorify Christ. Remember Lot's wife? The rest is history, is it not? as we read on, verse 26, please. Verse 26. The Bible teaches us, ponder the path of thy feet. The word ponder here is an interesting word. It means to consider, to examine. Ponder the path of thy feet. The path, destiny. Ponder your path. Ponder your destiny. Ponder, where will this road lead to? That's what the proverb is teaching us. We are to consider a pathway that we are on and be mindful of its ultimate end. Consider the end result. Ponder the path of thy feet. We are to ask the Lord for insight concerning where this pathway will lead to. And I'm often saying to God's people, consider, where is this leading you? Where is this pathway leading you? By making this decision, where will this end? And this is what the Bible is saying. Stand back, ponder this decision that I make, this choice that I make with my feet, this decision I make to go in this direction, where will it ultimately lead to? Consider that, the Bible teaches us. Ponder the path of thy feet. Consider the destiny that thy feet will take you. And then it goes on to say in verse 26, let all thy ways be established. So we need to consider the choices that we make, the places that we go. We must consider the destiny at the end of the day. Where will this lead? Where will this relationship lead me? Where will this form of entertainment lead me? Where will this job ultimately lead me? Ponder the path. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. So in other words, seek God's direction. The word established here is in reference to you and I determining where we want to go and placing our feet upon that path that's heading in that direction. So instead of just roaming aimlessly and taking different paths in life, you and I stand back and consider, if I go down this pathway, it will lead to this destiny. If I go down this pathway, it will lead to this destiny. If I go down this pathway, it will lead to this destiny. Establish. Let all thy ways be established. In other words, have some spiritual perspective and have some spiritual goals. Know where you're heading, and in knowing God's will, stay on track. Stay on track. Keep thy heart with all diligence, brethren. Be careful against listening to a froward mouth. Be careful against listening to perverse lips. It will infect your heart. Be careful concerning what you look upon. It will affect your heart. Be careful about the places where you go to, because they will affect your heart. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Verse 27 goes on to read, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Don't bend away. Don't step outside the boundaries. Don't get sidetracked. The Apostle Paul said of Demas of old, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Don't be sidetracked. Brethren, consider. Consider where you are going. Where are you going spiritually this morning? Do you know where you're going? Do you have some perspective?
Do you have some direction?
Oh, but Pastor, I like to just go with the flow. Well, that's a silly statement. That's just as silly as saying, I'm going to speak my mind. Go with the flow. What a ridiculous thing to say. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, let all thy ways be established. Spend time with God. Spend time in the Word of God. Work out where God wants you to be. Work out the pathway that God wants you to travel upon. And travel upon that pathway. Stay on track. Don't veer to the left. Don't veer to the right. Stay on track. Stay on track. Because if you get off track, it's going to infect your heart. That's what the Bible teaches. The end of verse 27 reads, remove thy foot from evil. While I was in Bible college, Pastor Hester would often say, sin is a process of wicked thinking. And brethren, may God help us to have the discernment to see that possibly we might be on a wrong pathway, and to make that decision to remove ourselves, remove thy foot from evil, to call back, to withdraw. In Romans 12:9, the Bible teaches us, let love be without dissimulation. May our love for one another be genuine. Abhor that which is evil. We've become immune to that which is evil in our day, have we not? Cleave to that which is good. That's what we need. That's the type of Christian. That's the type of Christian that will shine brightly. And brethren, we need to keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. And brethren, this morning, as we are assaulted from every angle, let's not allow sin to infect our hearts. May God help us to guard our hearts. Do you value your spiritual well-being? Do you value your physical well-being? If the truth be known, most of us value our physical well-being more than our spiritual well-being. But do you value, first and foremost, your spiritual well-being? We need to put a guard before our hearts. Don't allow unhealthy speech to rest in your heart. If it's in there, cast it out. Get it out. Oh, Pastor, I can handle it. No, you cannot. If you've listened to childbearing, it will infect you. And some of you are infected. Right now, you've listened to things that you should not listen to. And you didn't have the courage to say anything to that person. I challenge you. Cast it out. Because that's going to contaminate you. Yes, it is. And some of you are already contaminated. You've listened to things that you shouldn't listen to. You've listened to gossip. You've listened to talebearing. You've listened to whispers. You've listened. You haven't had the spiritual fortitude to say, stop! Stop! That's wrong! You're infecting me! You're affecting my health! I want to live to 100 and serve God! I don't want to listen to that! That's what you need to be saying. You're more concerned about catching somebody's flu than catching somebody's forward mouth or perverse lips. Will somebody say amen? And much of this comes from so-called Christians. We wonder why our lives are infected. We wonder why we can't pray like we used to pray. We wonder why we're not as zealous as what we used to be, because we've allowed perverse lips and a forward mouth, and we've looked upon things that we shouldn't look upon, and we're going places that we shouldn't go. Some of you men are going to websites that you should not go to. God sees it! Some of God's people here, we're watching things on that square box that's polluting your mind. And you're involved in social networking that is absolute junk to the core. It's infecting you. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You don't need that trash. Value your spiritual well-being. Value your life with God. Value holiness. Value the Word of God. Value God by living a holy life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. What can infect our hearts? Foul speech. Looking at the wrong things. Don't forget why God gave you a neck. Look away. Yes, you can do it. You're going to the wrong places. Some of us are going to the wrong places. Wrong channels on the TV. Wrong website. Wrong. And don't think that you won't be infected. Yes, you will. And you are probably already. Do you love God? Do you value your spiritual well-being? But God tells us, my son, verse 20, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Do you value your well-being, brethren? If you do, then we need to take hold of God's wisdom. Stay away from perverse lips, a forward mouth. Stay away from looking and gazing upon things that are dishonorable to the Lord. Stay away from pathways that lead to a dead end. Let all thy ways be established. And if you've gotten off track, let me encourage you to get back on track. And if somebody's leading you astray and corrupting your heart, I encourage you to separate. Yes, I do. I do. I believe it's a biblical principle. Is holiness a biblical principle? Speak to me. Holiness is separation. Set apart from sin, set apart unto God. That's why, and I'll be bold, that's why I believe if somebody leaves a church family without the blessing of the pastor, you need to separate. Let them go, because they're going to corrupt your mind. I'm yet to find one person that has left this church without the blessing, that has not gone on and said things they should not have said. And yet we are so gullible to think, oh, I'll be able to handle it, Pastor. No, you will not. Do you value your well-being? Separate. It's as simple as that. Will somebody say amen? That's a biblical principle. Separate. Doesn't mean you have to be nasty or unkind. Just, you go your way, I go my way, we agree to disagree, you've left without the blessing, God bless you, you go somewhere else, I'll serve here, thanks. I don't want to be corrupted. Will somebody say amen? Keep thy heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life. Do you value your well-being? Drop your hand if you value long life. Do you value long life? Do you value good health? That's okay. You don't have to be embarrassed. Well, the Bible tells you how you can have long life and good health. Is it complicated? Speak to me. No. May God grant us the grace to obey. Let's be upstanding. Every head bowed, every eye closed.